You remember Guy, who was in trouble at his workplace a while back. Well, he's back in the supervisor's office again. This time it's a little bit of a different problem. We'll begin now. It was later in Friday afternoon when Guy was kicked back in his chair with his feet up on his desk, looking back on what he thought was another week of poor me. What can I do for fun this weekend so I can forget about this week? Then a cloud of disappointment came over when he realized he couldn't afford to do what he thought would make him happy. Then a great rush of anxiety came over as he saw what time it was, and wow, it's almost quitting time. The company mail boy hasn't delivered my paycheck yet. As quickly as that cloud of anxiety came over, it was gone, with a self-inflating kind of mood set in. Oh, I know. The supervisor's going to hand-deliver my check so he can show me my pay raise that I've been asking for. And then, over the intercom, Guy, please report to you supervisor's office. Guys, uh-oh. I know what it is. So as he shuffles through the cubicles with an overinflated head, on his way to his supervisor's office, a new thought pops into his head. I know, the supervisor doesn't want to make a big deal about my raise in front of the other coworkers. Cool. I hope he makes it quick. I want to stop by the RV dealership on the way home. As you can see, Guy is totally oblivious to why he's being called into the office. He walks in. Hello, sir. Are you having a good afternoon? After all, the weekend is finally here. David said, no. I'm having a good afternoon. I don't know if you will be. Shaking his head in great disappointment. Guy, do you know why I called you into my office? Guy says, but yeah, you wanted to hand me my paycheck personally with my new raise. No, Guy, it's because you haven't been doing your job. A little shocked, Guy replied, what are you talking about? I'm here every day. I really miss our Saturday meetings, and I always give a report on my research on Saturdays when I'm asked to. That's just it. It's only when you're asked, Guy. You never go the extra step or the extra mile. You never volunteer anything. Guy, you know what your requirements are of your job. You also know that you're to contact our CEO and his assistant every day. If you have problems, you're to report in with your progress every day, and you don't even do that. Why should you get more money when you don't work for it? As for a raise, no, you're not getting a raise. You've become lazy. With that, Guy's shock initially that he felt turned into borderline anger. Well, maybe I should just go to another company or group. His supervisor's reply was, okay, here's your check. Before you go, I want you to sit down and listen to what I have to say. Let's open up our company handbooks and we'll turn over to Proverbs 19 and verse 15. If I can find it. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep. Guy says, what are you getting at? The supervisor asks, can you account for every hour of work this week? Can you even tell me what you accomplished this afternoon? As you remember, Guy was kicked back in his chair with his feet up on his desk all afternoon. After sputtering a few words, trailing off into silence, His supervisor quickly remarks before he could get another word out, "That's what I'm getting at, guy. You become lazy. You lose what you have gained. You don't even remember what you've done 15, 20 minutes ago." Once this happens, you become blind. You can't see anymore. Your blindness becomes unorganized bunch of useless thoughts of knowledge that you think is knowledge. We'll go ahead and read the rest of Proverbs 15. An idle person will suffer hunger, which also ties into Matthew 25 and verse 26, "You wicked and lazy servant." Guy, if you want more from this company, then you also have to do your job and then some. We're looking for people that are eager to grow and become an important part of this company. This company needs to grow as one group of people, not one person not doing anything or another person doing more work than the other. When one person in the company doesn't do his or her job, it not only affects them and their families, it also affects the progression of this company. We all have to work together to achieve our goal. Let's turn over to Titus 1, verse 15. That's Titus 1, 15. "To the pure, all things are pure." This is what our goal is, to achieve everything pure in this world. Nothing will be defiled or unbelieving. No one will be corrupt. This is our goal. We'll continue reading in verse 15. "But those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled." Guy, you fall asleep, you lose your consciousness. Once you lose your consciousness, you lose your conscience. And then it doesn't matter what you do. It'll always be wrong. It'll always be sin. Let's continue in our manual over to Matthew 23, verse 13. Matthew 23, verse 13. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." You know why they call them hypocrites, guy? Because they speak and they don't even know what they're saying. They think they know what they're saying. "For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Guy, if you're thinking about going to another company, this is what you have to look forward to. They don't watch over their people. They don't teach them. They don't take care of the welfare of their people. So what do you think? What do you think you can gain by switching over to another company? It seems like you may not have to work as hard. Life may be a little easier. They may provide a little more worldly things. But this is not what we're about. We're about the future and what the future has to offer. We don't care about now. We just want to live to make things better. So if you turn over to Titus 1 and verse 16. Titus 1 and verse 16. "They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work." And this is why we call them hypocrites. Do you want to be part of that guy, or do you want to stay with us? We are standing for what we said earlier, is everything to be pure. We teach the truth. We don't vary from what is taught us. So what will it be, guy? Us or them? Guy stands up and says, "Sir, I need to leave now." His supervisor says, "Okay, guy." And before his supervisor could get out another word, guy says, "I need to go talk to our CEO about getting some help with my problem and getting back on the right track." So fortunately, guy was called out by his supervisor. He had been shown that his laziness was not only hurting him, but it was hurting the progression of the company. When one person doesn't do their job, then it's holding up the works of the whole company. Peter asks us a question, 2 Peter 3 and verse 11 and 12. Let's turn over there. 2 Peter 3, 11 and 12. "Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed," and this is when our company will be taken over, "what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Well, there's the answer right there. Holy and godliness. Excuse me. I'll continue in verse 12. "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God." Like Guy, we have to continue on in our work. No matter what our position is, we have to continue what God has given us, and we have to act on it, and we have to grow on it. And then He will give us more. With more, we will be hastening His coming. If we're lazy and ungodly, then we're prolonging His coming. Guy learned pretty quickly that it's better to work harder than it is to work less and have more now. So if we focus on our future and not what we have or don't have now, then we will be hastening the coming of God and His kingdom.